Good evening. We are in Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 12 tonight. Paul has spent more than half of this letter describing Christ's supremacy. He is the image of God, chapter 1, verse 15. He is the agent of creation, chapter 1, verse 16. He is the treasury of all wisdom and knowledge, chapter 2 and verse 3. He is the head of the church, chapter 1, verse 18. He is our hope, chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 27. He is our deliverer, chapter 1, verse 13. Our redeemer and forgiver, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. And our reconciler, chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. So the conclusion, chapter 3, 11, is Christ is all and is in all. So there's, now we've reached the peak of Colossians. We've hit the mountaintop. Christ is all and is in all. So here's the idea. What does that mean for us? What do we do with that? Okay, great. Christ is supreme. He's all these things that Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has just said he is. Wonderful, great. So what? That's what I was taught in preaching school. Every time you get in front of a group, they have the right to ask you, so what? So what does that mean to us? How does that impact my life? How does it impact your life? What should we learn from this, as Larry would say? The first thing we need to learn from this is if Christ is all and is in all, then we need to develop a Christ-like mind. That's where the Holy Spirit leads Paul, to the need for a Christ-like mind. Chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, because Christ is all and is in all, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let's stop there. So what does a Christ-like mind look like? A Christ-like mind is clothed with Christian attitudes. And he uses this clothing analogy, take it off, put it on. And we use that in the scripture. We're baptized. We put on Christ in baptism. We wear him and he covers us. Well, as God's chosen people, verse 12, some say a chosen one, some say God's elect. Our call is to take off the ragged clothes that belong to worldliness, the ragged clothes of the secularism, the ragged clothes of being self-important and putting us at the center of our universe. We need to take those clothes off and put on the beautiful new robes that are appropriate for our new position as God's children. And so how should Christians dress spiritually, in a spiritual sense? What should we clothe ourselves with to have Christian attitudes? Well, one of the garments that every Christian must put on is compassion. Some of your translations say tender mercies. Compassion, tender mercies. Deep sensitivity to other people's needs and sorrows. Who here finds compassion comes natural? You're just wired automatically to deeply feel what others feel. Okay. Who finds that a challenge sometimes? All the rest of us, right? Two of us are wired that way.
That's challenging to be that way.
It's challenging the way God wired you from the factory. Like, wait a minute. Okay. Clothed with compassion. Give me an example of Jesus and his compassion. Was Jesus one who deeply felt what others were going through? The Samaritan woman at the well, John chapter 4. What was she going through?
Difficulties.
She had been rejected more times than you care to count. I still believe she was there at the heat of the day to avoid the stares of the proper women who came to the water to draw well. She'd been rejected by men. She'd been rejected by women. And she'd clearly been rejected by Jews. Because you're a Jew. What are you asking me for water for? I'm a Samaritan. And he came to her and said, well, how about if I just give you some living water so you never have to come back to the well? She's the first person that he reveals himself to be the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. He held her in high esteem. His friend Lazarus passed away, and he goes to see Mary and Martha, right? Shortest verse in the Bible is when he goes there and he sees the crowd mourning, and what's his response? Jesus wept. Now, yes, sir. The ultimate expression of his compassion, feeling others' needs, was dying on the cross. Did he have some deep needs of his own? Did he have some deep emotions of his own attached to going to the cross? In the Garden of Gethsemane, there's this description of his prayer that is so intense that drops of sweat flow from like blood. I've never been that intense in prayer. Father, if there's any way, let this cup, and in that context, cup means wrath, God's wrath. Let this expression of God's wrath pass from me. The torment that he went through, not only on the cross, but leading up to the cross and on the cross, was the price that was paid for our sins. He wanted desperately to avoid the cross. But more than that, he wanted to give us the opportunity for salvation. So he gave himself on the cross. Deep sense of compassion for others. We've got to be people, even if we don't come natural by that, who develop that. I love you, sweetheart, but I'm going to use you an example. Jan doesn't like to cry, but I dare you to try to cry by yourself in her presence. You're probably the same way. Will not happen. She doesn't enjoy crying, but you can't cry on your own if she's around. We need a spirit like that, a spirit that says, you can't go through this alone. I won't let you go through this alone. We're going to do this together. Compassion, tender mercies. Another garment every Christian must put on is kindness. Somebody define kindness for me, besides being nice. Courteous, okay. Thoughtful. Okay. Courteous, thoughtful. Another word we can put that is gentle. Someone who's thoughtful and gentle. Those of you who've been in the hospital, I want to use Jan again, but I also don't want to get locked out of my house. So when we used to go hospital visits, Jan would put together care packages of chapstick, lotion, and it was just because she noticed that when her mom was in the hospital with COPD, and when she's a lot of time in the hospital, those are the things she looked for. And so we used to keep just little bags in our one of our little drawers, and just that's kindness. That's thinking of what someone else needs before they know they need it. Take it to the hospital and leave it. Caring, yeah. Thinking, what would I want if I was in that spot? A garment every Christian must put on is humility. Some of your translations say humbleness, lowliness. There's no place in the assembly for pride and arrogance. This was this morning's lesson, Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. You are what you are because of who God is, not because of who you are. That was his point to the Corinthians. If you ever want a model of a messed up church, just go to Corinth. If there's a problem, they've probably committed it, or they're in the middle of finding out how to commit it. And Paul writes, says, I'm grateful for you, and he's not grateful for anything they are. They've done. He's grateful for what God's doing in them and with them and through them. Humility says, I'll never be good enough to go to heaven, but I know who I believe in. I know whose blood I trust in, and I know who I live for. And I know that if I live for him, he will count me blameless. Humility, someone who has no arrogance, no pridefulness. Another garment every Christian must put on is gentleness or meekness. Just a sensitivity, a sensitive approach to each other. A way to be kind, sensitive. I'll do this to you. I'm going to do it to you instead of do it to me. I won't use the end anymore. How many times have you been going through something really difficult, distracting, to the point of distraction? Your heart is heavy, you're grieving, and you come in here and you hit the foyer and somebody says, "How are you doing?" And you say, "I'm fine, how are you?" You ever done that? I've done that. Someone who's gentle will call you on that, call you hogwash. You know, I'm calling hogwash on that. You don't look like you're fine. You don't carry yourself like you're fine. Your voice doesn't sound like you're fine. There was an elder in the congregation in Texas, and the first time he did this to me, it just absolutely took me back. "David, how you doing?" "I'm fine, how are you?" That's the answer. And he goes, "No, really." Like, "Wait a minute, you know something I don't know?" "No, really. Stop giving me the pat answer and tell me what's really going on in your mind." And to do that and really want to hear the answer. Someone who is sensitive in the manner that they approach others. And finally, last one he lists here in verse 12 is patience or long-suffering. I love the King James, long-suffering. We're going to suffer long with each other. I'm not going to give up on you, and you're not going to give up on me, and we're going to get through this together. We're going to suffer long with each other. This uncomplaining manner in which we react to one another. So, if Christ is all and is in all, and we want to develop a mind like Christ, here's how we need to clothe our heart and our minds. Tall order. Okay, real quick. Look up there. Somebody tell me which one you find the easiest to do. I mean, you're not bragging on yourself. You're not patting yourself on the back. You're just saying that one seems to come natural. We've already talked about compassion. Somebody give me one that seems to be, I think I can pull that one off. Somebody throw it out there. Kindness? Okay, kindness. Somebody else? From the quiet section over here? All the quiet people sitting over there, what's that all about? Patience. You being patient with me right now since I'm calling you out? And I appreciate you for that, brother. Now, somebody tell me one that you struggle with. Patience. Yeah. What else? Anybody struggle with something else? Yeah. All right. So who did Jesus catch grief for hanging out with? Sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes, by the way, let's just. What did he have in common with sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes? What did Jesus have in common with them? There's no way he can sit down and goes, "I know what you've been through. I've been there myself." He can't do that. So where did he find the space for compassion? God is love. Yeah. Love someone enough to get out of what you know and your comfort zone and what you're familiar with and what you can relate to and step into their world for a minute and love them and care for them. High tall order. A Christ-like mind is clothed in Christian attitudes. Christ-like attitudes. Verse 13, a Christ-like mind is clothed in forgiveness. This is what we talked about. The world is full of odd people, strange, different, unique, one of a kind, can't relate, don't get along, don't understand, don't even begin to know where they're coming from, can't begin to guess where they're going. Everyone's strange but me and you. And sometimes I wonder about you. And the Christian response to those people is forbearance and forgiveness. Bear with each other. Some translations say forbearing each other. What does it mean to bear with someone?
Understand what they're going through.
Okay. Try to empathize, try to connect, I may not have walked that journey, but help me understand, okay? What else? Okay. Bear with, yeah, forbearance, yeah.
Like on a student loan, they would give them forbearance.
Okay. Is that like an extension or a?
Were they even just dismissed?
Oh, dismiss. Okay. All right.
I need help. It's been a while since I studied that, but I did have a teacher one time in Bible study.
So like dismiss the debt.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I wish I'd done that with my student loans. I would have.
Yeah.
Bear with.
And I may be, I came in late, so.
Well, you're great. We'll work on that. You've given us something to work with. You know, thank you for the help very much. To bear with, forbearing each other, is to hold back the normal reaction, the impatient, the uncharitable reaction, to odd or difficult or even unbearable people. The normal reaction would be, you owe me money, pay it back. The forbearance is, I'll give you some grace. Bear with. That implies a burden. I bear the backpack. You know, these little ones. Did Evie take a backpack with her on her first day? Bigger than her? Okay. Was she kind of tilting to the side? That's bearing with. She's bearing a load. She's carrying a load. Church, sometimes, I know y'all have never experienced this, but sometimes it's a burden to be in a church family with somebody else. Sometimes it's a load to carry to have a brother or sister in Christ who can be a burden. And what we're called to do is bear with each other, to let go of the burden, to release the burden. And he says in verse 13, forgive whatever grievances, some translations say whatever complaints, whatever quarrels you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. If there are any lingering quarrels in this body of believers, if Christ is all and is in all and we're Christ followers, we're called to find a way to put that to rest. If you're holding a grievance, it's time to go and work on solving that grievance. If you're holding a grudge, I remember one time the church I was before was a semicircular auditorium, and it just laid out, and I remember one dear sister was over here and another dear sister was over there, and they'd had a fight with each other 20 years ago. And the way they resolved it was, I'm still mad at you, I don't like you, I'm not going to talk to you, I'm just going to sit on the other side of the building, I'm going to have to deal with you. That's not what Christ is calling for. Imagine God saying, you have sinned, and sin what? Sin separates, right? You have sinned, and so therefore you have separated yourself from me. I'm going to give you my son, and he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to die for you, for your sins. And when you come to him in faith, his blood is going to wash away your sins. But I still don't want to have anything to do with you. gospel? Where's the gospel? Forgiveness is about reconciliation. Forgiveness is about let's mend a broken relationship. And the model we're given is what? Verse 13. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How much has God forgiven you? Boy, if I was him, a long time ago, I'd said, David, I'm sorry, but you're done. You've used up all your grace. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. A Christ-like mind is clothed in forgiveness. Verse 14, a Christ-like mind is clothed in love. Oh, see there, I'm late already on my slides. And I love this young lady putting on her belt that cinches the outfit and puts it all together and holds it all together, and that's love. It's the belt that holds everything in place. Without it, nothing fits. Love, some of your translations say charity. All the other virtues are necessary for Christian life. We need to be people who have compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and bear with each other and forgive each other. But without Christian love, all of these virtues will find themselves getting out of balance. Without love to bring balance and clarity, we'll find them becoming distorted. So much so that I might have compassion and I might begin to condone an activity that you have that's going to separate you from God. But I'm going to tell myself the loving thing I can do is just not mention it and not address it. Without love, these characteristics lose their balance and become out of proportion. Love is what holds them together. It's the belt that holds everything together. So you and I are called to develop a Christ-like mind. If Christ is all and is in all, we need to think like Christ thinks. We touched on this a little bit in our class this morning. It's one of those things where you have a lesson prepared and then you chunk the lesson and you do something totally different. I'm not sure that's wise, but nobody's ever accused me of being wise, so that's not a problem. Developing a mind like Christ, thinking the way Christ thinks. We're in a world that just seems so divisive. We mentioned this morning in the sermon, we've had a national loss. 9/11 remembers a national loss. Thousands of people died. Lost a very public figure in a very public way. Lost a 9-year-old boy that goes to elementary school here last week. Lost a beloved member of our congregation. A wife has lost a husband. Children have lost their dad. We've lost. We've had loss. How do we respond to that? We need to be people who love. We're God's chosen people. And as God's chosen people, it is no longer appropriate to think like the world. As God's chosen people, you've given up the forfeited the right to think like the world. And so when we come across weeks like this past week, the question isn't how bad do I feel, how much am I grieving, how mad am I? How can I love like Jesus loves? Sometimes there's tough love, but how can I love like Jesus loves? How can I have the mind of Christ? We must put on the Christian virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And we need to practice forbearance and forgiveness. We need to be willing to bear a burden of someone else. If you've ever been married, you know that sometimes somebody can be a burden. We need to be willing to carry that. It can be easy to hold a grudge against somebody, a friend, a family member, a church member, a coworker, a schoolmate. But if we're Christians, we must always be willing to hold out the offer of forgiveness. Let's fix this. Let's solve this. Let's repair this, because what does God do for you and me? let's fix this. Let's solve this. Let's repair this. We have to be people who excel at love. Wow. Love is the tie that binds every Christian virtue together in perfect unity, perfect harmony, and perfectness. Did we really only get that far? I should have pedaled harder. Thoughts, comments, critiques, criticisms? I guess we'll bear with your story, Jim. Yeah. Okay. And she didn't have to have the perfect words, didn't have to offer the perfect solution, just be there. Right? In a world that seems more and more aloof, more and more distracted, more and more set apart, more and more individualistic, more into ourselves, less into each other, the more we have this mind of Christ, the more we shine like stars in the universe, the more we show a world that there's a better way, that there's a better option. But somebody had to be willing to share somebody's pain. Somebody had to be willing to share somebody's grief and probably get a few tears on their blouse. Bear with one another. Have the mind of Christ. And forgive as God forgave you. God bless you. We're dismissed.